Thank you, Bruce. I don't have a PowerPoint today, but I have the power of God's Word. So we'll go through that. It's kind of an interesting word, isn't it? Kind of hopeless, isn't it? And when you listen to all that going on and going back in those times and seeing what happened. And we can learn some things from that as well. I know you probably all have seen the cartoon, the Dr. Seuss cartoon of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, right? Do I have to? Does anybody not have hasn't seen that or heard about it anyways and some of that? So you know the Grinch, right? He despises all the things to do with Christmas. So what does he do? He makes that plan, goes down there, and what does he do? Steals all their hoomplas and humpsomps and all that stuff and takes them away, right? And every little bit of food, too. Even that little scrap that is even too small for even a little mouse. Right, he takes it up, and he piles on his big sleigh, and he goes back up the mountain. So you got the Grinch, who despises Christmas, and he got his little pet dog, who he made into a little deer for that time. And that dog, really, he was kind of in between. He was either for or against. He was just on for the ride. He didn't really have much to say about it. And then he got the Who's. Right? The little Cindy Who's and all these little Who's. And of course, on that Christmas morning when I woke up and all their stuff was gone, and this has actually happened to people where they woke up and they come out there and they look at where they place all their Christmas and they're gone. Well, what did the Who's do? They started going boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No, they didn't. They gathered together and they in that circle and they were singing. And because their hope was in something else than these packages and the food and all the other commotions of what brings around a Christmas day for most of us. See, what rose up when they're singing was that little light, and I believe that was just this, you know, Christ himself, the Spirit of Christ. You know, that gave them that hope. That's what it was about to them. An enduring hope, even when all their fun things were taken away from them. And of course, the Grinch's heart changed, and that's a good thing. And, you know, because God can change even the Grinch's heart. And he comes back, and they were able to celebrate together. So it's a wonderful story in that respect. And some people, well, what is hope? And I was looking it up, and I said, hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. You know, it's a kind of feeling of trust, right? And if you look at biblical hope, then you go a little bit deeper in this way, say, it is a confident affirmation, that God is faithful and that he will complete what he has begun. That is biblical hope. That is a Christian's hope. It's not just in things or what our feeling, but it's in a true, a living God who has shown himself to be faithful. From the time he began with human beings until now. And we can have a confident hope, a confidence in that, a surety, a certainty of that. And it's interesting because when you look at Romans 18 a little bit, and it talks about this groaning going on. And it sounds so bad, you know. The earth is groaning because, it, you know, since the sin in the garden, you know, everything was corrupted. So it's groaning to get back to where it used to be, where God created it perfect and really good. And then people are also groaning to finally become the sons and daughters that God has us to be. There's a groaning to be clothed in these new resurrected bodies, these immortal bodies, just like Christ when he rose. There's a groaning, and it's not a bad groaning, but this is really a groaning, a cry of expectant hope. Expectancy, that it will not, oh, will it happen? Because a lot of times we hope in things will really happen. But in this, we know will happen because it's the Lord. See, our hopes get dashed. My hopes last night almost got dashed with the Cowboys. You know, they were trying to give the game away, you know, so I was going like that. And I'm sure everybody else, you know, I'm thinking about doing some litigation, you know, going to the Supreme Court. Maybe there's some, you know, they shouldn't be able to do that to your heart, you know, that type of thing, right? People do that to you. Circumstances, as we talk about, dash our hopes because we put a hope in a certain thing or a person or a goal. Sometimes it just doesn't come out the way we expected. Our hopes get dashed. I don't know about you. I've seen a lot of people whose hopes have been dashed so much that they become hopeless. And be careful, because when you get in the clutches of the evil of hopelessness, it's like you're giving up. You see, you know, an oppressive government, they want you to be hopeless because you're so easy to control because you've given up already. You don't give a rip. I'm done. I quit. That's hopelessness. I quit. I give up. See, they like that. But when you start pushing back and there's life in you and there's hope that they can't take away from you, they don't like that. See, if you go to a lot of these countries who suppress the people who follow Christ, they don't like those who follow Christ because of that. Because hope just radiates from us. And it gives other people hope. And they're going, no, because they're going to take just through their prayers and through who they are, they're going to stop our agenda. See, there's a war going on, right? In this world, a war for us, for our hearts, between the enemy and God. There's those two kingdoms going at it. And there's hope. People coming out of World War I and World War II and all these other wars too, the Vietnam, the Korean War, and other wars that we've had, you know, a lot of people give up on God. You know, why should I believe in a God who can't prevent this type of suffering? Why? So they leave and they become hopeless. And then we have a society like we see it today. It just trickles down. The results of hopelessness trickles down into our families, where our families are broken, where people are running around. There's no, and do people even experience love? Well, hopefully some people still do. I know in our church they do. But many people out there don't. See, they've quit. They've let hopelessness come into their lives and they quit on God. He's big. Man, there's things out here. These are questions. These are good questions. These are, yeah. So what do we do with these questions like that? How do we respond to a hopeless situation? Yeah. I think we have to go back into the Bible. Well, we can find it here. It's interesting because in Romans 15:4 it says this, for everything that was written in the past, like in 2 Kings, was written to teach. It teaches us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. That's why we do this. That's why we get into the Word. We need some help. We need some encouragement. We need some guidance. And you know, when we get that, it teaches us and helps us to help us endure like these guys did. You think there were easy times back then? I'm sorry. They're even more dangerous probably back then they were now. More chaotic, more oppressive, more evil. Or the same. Because people are people from one age to another. So we have all this, but you come to the scriptures, and through that, we learn, and through how God works in the lives of these people, in their lives, these real people in real time, in their time, in their lives, and how they responded, and how God continues to work through all this. And it gives us hope. We need hope to help us take that next step, to get us out of bed the next morning. In 2024, to take another step, right? We need that hope to drive us forth. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, thank you for your word that does teach us and does teach us about how to endure and encourages us and gives us hope. And I pray that that will be so today as you speak through me, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I do want to pray for LaRue as well. I did forget to pray for her. And Lord, we just thank you for her and for her service. And we just ask that you will just bless her even now, that she'll feel your comfort and your peace and the hope of Christ abounding to her and your love surrounding her and the love that we have for her and appreciation for her and her faithfulness. And her joy in serving you and playing beautiful music before you to honor you. So thank you for LaRue, and thank you for so many like her. And thank you for your word that we can learn from, so we can be faithful as they are, no matter what the situation, because we have hope, an enduring hope. Bless this time, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, I had to go through some context. I had to go back to 2 Kings 6 as Bruce read that. And, just listening to it, cannibalism's going on. You know, they're being besieged by the Arameans, and these guys are trying to get them, right? They want to destroy the Israelites and the city of, I think it was Samaria. And this is because, remember that the kingdom of Israel got split up, right? They had a kingdom of Judah and a kingdom of Samaria after Solomon, and then his son took over the reign for Rehoboam, and then the kingdom got split at that time because of sinfulness, because of sin. And so this is the kingdom of Samaria besieged, so you can tell there's no food. Not much at all. People were dying of hunger, and to where even mothers will cannibalize their own sons. Hopeless. I don't think there's any more hopeless situation than that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I would die. I'm sorry. I could not do that. But I shouldn't say that because maybe I would in that situation when you're dying of hunger. It's a desperate, hopeless situation that they're in. And a king was wearing sackcloth, showing repentance and sorrow for what's going on. But the situation was he wasn't being honest, because it was his sins and the sins of the people that have been causing this difficulty. And he was to repent. Well, there's no repentance here. I mean, he acknowledges, back in verse 27, it says, the king replied to this woman who cried out, help me, Lord, and she says, well, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? Well, at least he knows where the help is coming from, but he's certainly not seeking it by repenting and getting real with him. So he's putting on sackcloth and he's trying to do what he can. He's, like what we do, like we've said before, we try to manipulate God. We bring him down into something that we can take a hold of and we can control. We shrink him down to that calf idol that we can rub like a genie and get all the wishes that we want. But God won't have it. He gave us a covenant. He gave them a covenant. A covenant of blessing and curses. And because they broke the covenant, now the curses were coming. And the only way that they can get right with God is by coming before him with true repentance and turning away from the sin. You can wear all the sackcloth you want until you turn from your sin, and your heart does that, and the way you think, it's not going to impress God. So the suffering is happening. And then you can see his attitude. This is Joram, the King Joram, back then, and he says this, "May God deal with it, with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." See, now he's blaming him. He's blaming God. He's blaming Elisha because he's a representative of God. They're not doing their job. They're not doing what I want. So the next best way to respond to a hopeless situation is to get violent. Cut off his head. Oh, that'll solve the problem. And then that last part of 6, it says here, the chapter 6 there, it says, "The king said, this disaster is from the Lord." So he knows it's from the Lord. "Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" How many times have we been there? How many times have we been there? Why should I wait? Who's God that I should wait upon him? Oh, he's only my creator. He's the only one that gave me breath and life. Oh, why should I wait upon him? He's the only one that's given me everything that I have that is good. Oh, why should I wait upon him? There it is. Well, Elisha says this. Hear the word of the Lord. Elisha is not backing off. Hear the word of the Lord. And when Elisha said that, and then he gave him, you know, by tomorrow, everything's going to be good. See, all this stuff, all the suffering, all the famine and stuff of that, you're going to have more than you can eat. And of course, the officer the king, who, you know, so many of us do the same thing. We're just going to go, come on, you silly fool. Stupid, thinking that God could do that. Who are you? You silly fool to believe that. And Elisha comes back, well, you'll see. You'll see. It's amazing, isn't it? How hopeless situations test who we are. It tests our faith. It's interesting too, not just a king and an official was having issues with what Elisha said, the word of God, the word of the Lord, but then also it comes down to this. There's some lepers. Lepers are low, low, they're unclean. They're not even supposed to reside close to anybody. And they're done. They're saying, hey, man, what do you want? You want to die with these guys of famine, of hunger? And then they decided, you know what? I'd rather die by suicide. We're going to go out there. We're just going to die quickly. Let's go. This was their plan. This is their plan. Let's go and die. How hopeless. Hopeless. No hope there whatsoever. Just a hope that I'll get killed quickly. And not that they'll hang me upside down and start throwing spears at me. Kind of go back to that day at the cross when Jesus hung there, nailed hands and feet in a crown of thorns. And his mom and some of the others were there watching, hopeless, as he died, bled and died, and taken off the cross and put into a tomb. Oh, how fun it was to be with him. And now he's gone. Hopeless. hopelessness. I quit. But then, see, God is God. There's a surprise of hope. See, if you read on in that chapter 7, it says this. There in verse 3, it says, now there were four men in leprosy, and they said, let's go. And why should we stay here until we die? Let's go. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, we will die. Then we will die. Then listen to this. At dusk, in verse 5, at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. What? Here's these thousands of troops ready to destroy them. And now they go out there, and you know, they're expecting that they're going to get killed. All right, by these Arameans, and they're not there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear. Underline that in your Bibles. To hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Oh my. Do you see the surprise of hope? Who intervenes? The Lord intervenes. It causes them to hear these chariots, and they run and they flee and they're going, oh, help me. The surprise of hope. The lepers plundered the camp, eating and drinking and hiding the silver and gold and clothes. Oh, they were having a good time. Now, this is still kind of the dusk. It's still dark at this time. The light hasn't come yet. Amazing. See, that day, the next day after Jesus died on the cross and was put in a tomb, and the women went out to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body, like good Jewish people. They came and they found the stone rolled away of the empty tomb. Nobody was there. Christ was not there. The body was not there. The surprise of hope was there. Something they didn't expect that could ever happen. Just like these lepers. No way could this ever happen. Oh, but it did. Oh, but it did. And you can go through the history of the United States Marines and Army and Air Force and Navy, and I guarantee you, you'll hear stories like this that were impossible. Bastogne? Impossible. All these things. Go on to stories of missionaries who've been throughout all the world in these darkest areas, like the Richardsons to Papua New Guinea amongst a cannibalistic people. And they brought Christ to them. And their lives changed. The surprise of hope. The Grinch's heart grew 4 times larger. That's the surprise of hope. See, God is like that. See, the good news of hope. As you keep on reading on, then they said to each other, oh, what we're doing is not right. There in verse 9, this is a day of good news. And we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. So they went on over to the palace. Hey, 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 hey. Guys, they're saying, "What? Get out of here, you lepers! Guys, these Arameans are gone. They're all gone, and all their stuff is there." And they're going, "You? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This good news, it can't be that good. It can't be that good. Just like the women returning to the disciples saying, oh, the tomb is empty. Jesus isn't there. And they're going, oh, shut up. You wicked, foolish people. Why would you have hope like that? And why would you experience the surprise of hope? Well, because they went out and looked for it. Because God does those things. And so what happens is this. Even during the night, the king goes, well, shoot. You know, after debating, and his officers finally spoke some sense into him. And he says, okay, we'll send out a couple chariots and check this thing out. Right? We'll do that. So they did that, and there it says, go find out what happened there in verse 14. They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a sea of the finest flour sold for a shekel, and two seas of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Huh? Ooh, as the Lord has said. See, Jesus told his disciples and all those who were there with him that he was going to die. They're going to hang him on the cross. They were going to kill him. He told them that. And he said, on the third day, I'll rise again. And see, when the disciples heard this news, Peter and John ran to that tomb to see if, check out what's going on there. And they found there is no body. And so they came back wondering, what is going on? Until the risen Christ met them, appeared before them, and shown himself to them. And even then, they were surprised they had to show him the nail holes, right? And his wrists. And he said, hey, you have something to eat? I can still eat. Even though now I can walk through walls. Just peer through you. There's a different body, guys. It's a different thing going on. Amazing news. See, the source of hope, you have to go back to verse 2. The source of hope is this. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the source of hope. See, the Lord himself is the source, and his word is what brings hope. Just like we read there in Romans 15:4 about the scriptures, and as we read it and get encouraged and taught by it, it gives us hope. It is our source of hope. It is not just a word written on a page in black and white and stuff like that. It's not, if you read it like that, there's no life in it. No, you got to read it with an open heart and asking the Lord to guide and direct and teach you and open your heart. And then hope comes alive. See, the hopelessness, oh, that I just can't get that job, or I can't, you know, my friends, oh, somebody in my family is really sick, and it looks really bad, you know, and stuff like that, you know, but there's hope beyond the packages. There's hope beyond the life here. There's hope beyond what we can see. That's driven people to the farthest parts of this earth to bring the good news to a cannibalistic people. They probably have them on their menu. White meat. Yummy. Never had that before. But it drove them. The hope of Christ drove them to these people. Because they know there's something beyond this, what we see and feel here in our front of us, or something beyond it. It's so amazing. We can't even be described by human language. It's a hope that's enduring, and it's based on the Word of God that is enduring forever. Have you read your Bible lately? Have you read your Bible lately? Because if you haven't, then where are you going to find hope? So you need to read a Bible so you can find hope, because then you'll come up scriptures like, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And yes, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. Oh yes, in this world you're going to have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Right? One of my favorites is Jesus, through his words, he just says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Hello? Do you believe this? Because if you don't, you better get into the Word and start reading with an open heart and repent. Just like this King Joram and the people of Samaria. Because you're missing out on hope. How are you going to live the next day? I don't know how a lot of people I know, how they live without Christ. I don't know how they do it. But in hopelessness, yes, they have a hope. But I tell you something, they base it on somebody or something, and when that goes away, there's an issue. But when we base it on God's Word and on the person of the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, well, you got something there that's not going to go away. It's not going to be destroyed or spoiled or fading or perishing. It is forever. And He offers us this. He offers us this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, this is the Word of God. It gives us hope. It is a precious hope. It's hope that moves us through all issues that this world tries to throw at us. Because it can only do so much. And one of my favorites is this, when Jesus says, I mean, this from Psalms 119 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established earth, and then it endures. See, the word of the Lord, when he says this, do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now look. Surprise! I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Oh, don't give me the little gift wraps and stuff like that, the little surprises, though they're fun. No, give me Jesus. Give me his word. So I have a hope that will move me through every step of my life, every breath I take. When the chaos happens, when the problems happen, when my hopes are dashed in this world, for one reason or another, that hope will drive me forward towards the cross and towards his promise of giving me a whole new life, a life everlasting with a new body. Can you believe that, Don? A new body. We're going to be running someday together, man. We're going to leap. We're going to leap over tall buildings together. Yes, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. Yes, Mick, you too. Yes, Rick, you too. We're going to be leaping and jumping with these new bodies. Perfect bodies, immortal bodies, everlasting bodies with no death, pain, or sickness. Oh, hallelujah. That's part of our hope. Don't lose that hope. Be careful not to put your hope so much in this world that you lose the hope that we have in Christ. Because then your that hopelessness will come in, and you'll be like this king that wants to cut off somebody's head. Or you'll be like Grinch, who despises Christmas and just wants to steal it, all that away. Because he despises it, just like the officer. Just like the officer here. At the king's hand. Just like the soldiers who were stabbing Jesus' side with a spear. Just like those priests who were mocking Jesus to come down off the cross. See what happens here? Now the king had put the officer on his, on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him. Can I read it again? Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, but the next part is. And the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. Just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king. And then they just go through the whole thing again. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't despise the word of God. Yeah, when you hear the word of God, what are you supposed to do with hopelessness or anything like that? You're supposed to turn to the Lord. You're supposed to turn your ear to him and listen. But not just listen, but also to obey it, to surrender. Yeah, you want to surrender? That's the time to surrender to his word, to his will. So turn to the Lord when you're feeling the hopelessness coming. Turn to him. Get into his word and listen to him. Obey his word. And all the good things, all the hope, all the encouragement, all the wonderful enduring teachings that it gives us to help us endure. Or you don't want to be like Grinch? And, you know, Grinch did get saved. You don't want to be like Grinch, or are you like Grinch? You might be like Grinch. Or you might be the dog, his pet dog, just sitting there going, I don't know. Let's go this way. I'll do this. I'll do that. A lot of people are doing that today. I'll do this. I'll just blow with the wind. Oh, I believe in this. Oh, I know a little bit of that and stuff like that. And they just, this way and that way. Oh, they can be saved too. The little dog was saved. But are you like that right now? Are you being blown by the wind? Are you in between? In between this world and this hope that it offers and the Father who gives us an everlasting hope that endures? Are you in between there? Mm-hmm. Or are you like the who's? Who, when everything was gone, even every little speck of food, every little present, every little decoration is gone, are you like a who? Who will stand there and just go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross. And that surprise you gave us at the empty tomb, and then in a resurrection of your who you are, you're alive today. Your ascension into heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for us even now. And one day, the day of the Lord will come, and Christ is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to take his people home. He's going to take all his little who's, Cindy Who and all those others with him. Are you a Cindy Who? I hope you are. Because that's where you need to be. Put your hope in Christ. For it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you hope in him. And may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. And thank you for hope. Lord, may we find it in you alone. Not let anything in this world to take that hope away. Oh, yes, we might have some hopes in this world, and Lord, some of them might come true and some won't. But Lord, Father, we know that everything, every part of your word that you've spoken will come true. For you are faithful to every single promise you've given. And what you start, you will complete. And may we grow in that trust in you so we will overflow with this hope, that we will be filled with this joy and this peace as we walk in this chaotic, crazy world of ours. May we keep our eyes upon you and the hope that you have given us in your word. May we hear your word day to day and walk in it. And be a witness to others to how good you are. And to point them to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ alone. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen.